Welcome to the Bass Wobble Stretch Lab. In this lesson, we're building a rewind wordy DNB drop in Ableton Live 12 with that old-school jungle attitude, but with a modern mastering-minded finish. The whole point is to make the bass feel like it's pulling against time. It should wobble, stretch, bloom, tighten up, and then snap back hard enough that the drop feels like it needs a reload. Now, before we touch the bass, we set the foundation the right way. Drums first, bass second. That's a big one in drum and bass. If the drums already swing, punch, and breathe properly, the bass automatically feels more powerful. So start by building an 8-bar loop with a chopped break, a clear snare anchor, and a kick that still reads underneath the break. Use drum rack or simpler slice mode, and don't over-polish the break. A little roughness is part of the jungle energy. Just keep the low-end tails under control, and leave yourself at least about -6 dB of headroom on the drum bus. That way, the bass can be shaped into the groove instead of being smashed on top of it later. Once the drums are moving, build your bass instrument as a two-chain rack. Think of it as two jobs working together. One chain is the sub, and the other is the mid-bass. The sub should be clean, mono, and simple. Use operator or wavetable with a sine wave or something very close to it. Keep the envelope tight, no stereo widening, no fancy nonsense. The sub is your foundation. It supports the track, it doesn't try to be the star. Then create the mid-bass layer, and this is where the personality lives. Use a richer waveform, maybe saw or triangle-based content, then shape it with auto filter and saturator. If you want a little old-school smear in the upper mids, you can add a touch of chorus ensemble, but keep it subtle. The mid layer is where the wobble and stretch will happen, so give it enough harmonic content to move around without losing focus. Keep the sub and mid separate from the start. That's a mastering-minded decision, because it gives you control later when the low end and the drums start interacting. Now program the bass phrase like it's having a conversation with the drums. Don't just write a constant line. In this style, negative space is part of the groove. Start with a short motif across 8 bars. Let bars 1 and 2 be sparse, with bass hits landing around the break and snare skeleton. Then repeat that idea in bars 3 and 4 with a slight variation, maybe an octave flick or a different note ending. In bars 5 through 8, increase the density a little or introduce longer notes that can become part of the stretch moment. A useful teacher tip here: think in bass states, not just bass notes. You want the line to move through a few emotional stages. Maybe the first section is controlled, the next section is flexing, and the final section gets a little unruly. Even if the MIDI barely changes, the energy should change. Now let's design the actual wobble stretch. This is not random movement. We want modulation that feels intentional, like the bass is being pulled wider over time. Put auto filter after the mid bass and automate the cutoff so it travels through a useful range, something like a closed low pass up toward a more open position. You can think in terms of roughly 180 Hz up to about 1.2 kHz, depending on the tone you're after. Keep resonance under control. A little resonance is great for voice and attitude, but too much and it starts whistling or turning nasty in the wrong way. The key here is that the motion should evolve across phrases. In bars 1 and 2, use short wobble pulses. In bars 3 and 4, widen the sweep a bit. In bars 5 and 6, make the movement longer and more elastic. Then in bars 7 and 8, either open the filter more dramatically or make the texture harsher for impact. You can also automate wavetable position, distortion drive, and amp release in the same direction, but not at exactly the same time. Those tiny timing differences are what make the bass feel alive instead of programmed. Another advanced move is to let the mid-bass breathe slightly off the grid. Jungle energy often comes from push-pull against the break. So if a few mid-bass hits sit a few milliseconds late or early, that can make the groove feel more menacing and human. Just don't overdo it. The goal is tension, not sloppiness. Once you've got a pass that feels good, resample it. This is where the sound starts to become an instrument instead of just a synth patch. Route the mid-bass to a new audio track and record a few versions. Do one pass with gentle modulation, one with heavier automation, and one with more distortion and filter movement. Then take the best parts and chop them in simpler, either in classic or slice mode. Suddenly your bass becomes performance material. You can re-trigger little vowel-like moments, bass swells, and attack shapes like they're sampled phrases. On the resampled audio, use a EQ8 to clean up any ugly resonances, maybe high pass gently if needed, and use saturator or drum bus very subtly to add body and presence. If you want even more movement, a little frequency shifter or auto filter on a return can add unstable character without destroying the core bass. Keep the weirdness as an accent, not as the whole foundation. Now we tighten the separation between sub and mid. The sub should stay mono, clean, and stable. Use utility in mono if you need to force that behavior, and keep the sub free from widening, chorus, or heavy distortion. If the kick and sub are fighting, let the kick speak first and let the sub bloom just after. That's a classic D&B move and it preserves punch. For the mid bass, high pass it so it's not crowding the sub region. Depending on the arrangement, that might mean somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz. If the mix starts to feel muddy, check the 200 to 400 Hz range and clean that up with EQ8. Add harmonics if you need more bite, but stay aware of how much energy is building around 2 to 5 kHz, because that's where harshness can creep in fast, especially after distortion or filter resonance. Now we build the arrangement arc. This is where the rewind-worthy part really happens. Don't let the drop stay at one intensity. Give it a story. In bars 1 through 4, keep it fairly dry, punchy, and controlled. In bars 5 through 8, open the filter, push the drive, and increase the note density a bit. In bars 9 through 12, bring in a fill or a bass answer phrase. Then in bars 13 through 16, either strip things back or create an ear breakdown tail that makes the return feel massive. That return moment matters a lot. A short dropout before the repeat can make the crowd want the drop again immediately. Even half a beat of silence can make the next bass hit feel enormous. You can reinforce that with a reverse swell, a tiny snare fill, or a tape stop style pullback if you're resampling Audino. Keep the transition FX minimal but deliberate. The strongest reload moments often come from space, not from adding more layers. And here's a really useful mix habit. Audition the drop as if you're already at the mastering stage. Put spectrum on the master and watch how the low end behaves with the drums playing. You want the sub to stay centered and stable, not bouncing all over the place. You also want to avoid too much low mid buildup around 150 to 350 Hz, and you do not want harsh peaks living in the upper mids. During production, keep master processing light. Maybe a utility for mono checking, maybe a tiny bit of glue compressor if needed, but nothing heavy. If the bass only sounds exciting when you crush the master, that's a sign the sound design still needs work. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't make the sub wobble too much. Let the mid layer carry the movement. Second, don't try to use one bass patch for everything. Separate rolls give you way more control. Third, don't overfill the drop with notes. Old school flavored D&B loves space. Fourth, don't let resonance get nasty and uncontrolled. Fifth, always check the bass with the drums, not in solo. A bass that sounds huge on its own can fall apart in context. If you want to push this darker or heavier, try parallel grit. Send the mid bass to a return with saturator or overdrive and blend it in underneath. That gives you menace without killing the punch. You can also create two versions of the drop, one cleaner for the first pass, and one dirtier and more stretched for the second pass. That contrast makes the arrangement feel alive and stops the listener from getting used to one texture. For a quick practice exercise, build an 8-bar drop loop right away. Use one chopped break, one snare anchor, and one kick layer. Build a 2-chain bass rack with sub and mid. Write a bass line with only 4 to 6 notes total. Automate the filter from more closed to more open across the second half. Resample the mid bass, slice one interesting section, and turn it into a fill. Then create one dropout before the final return. Finish with a mono check and make sure it still hits hard at a lower volume. If you want to go even further, challenge yourself with a 16-bar version. Use no more than 6 MIDI notes total. Make the bass evolve through 4 distinct phrase states, resample at least once, and include one new silent bar before the final return. Then export two versions, one cleaner and more rolling, and one dirtier and more stretched. Compare them and ask the only question that really matters for this style: which one makes you want to rewind the drop? That's the Bass Wobble Stretch Lab. Build the drums first, split the sub and mid, automate the motion with intention, resample the good moments, and always shape the drop for the reload. In jungle and old school D&B, the bass isn't just a sound. It's a performance, a tension arc, and a reason for the crowd to scream, pull back, and hit rewind.